mid-August, a few days before the high school football season gets underway, and you know what that means. Year 9 in this incarnation. Prep Sports Now with the high school football expert in Southern Nevada, Ray Brewer, and myself, Case Kiefer. I think it's the 11th year of the show overall, 9th since us two have been doing it. I believe this is going into my 10th high school football season that I've been around in Southern Nevada. I think it shapes up with Bishop Gorman going for a 10th straight state championship. Ray Brewer, is that right?
Yes, Gorman playing for 10 in a row, Arbor, Liberty close behind. And I think just when you throw that number out, right, 10, it's pretty there's a lot of adjectives I guess you could throw at it, but it's pretty overwhelming if you're some of the teams looking to compete against Gorman. I still remember some of my first years on the job in the 1990s case when, for example, they played Silverado one year in their homecoming game at Sanboy Stadium, and Silverado was just so much bigger up front than Gorman. They absolutely dominated them. And then 06, the homecoming game back at Sam Boyd, they played Spring Valley, and Spring Valley beat them. And now to think here we are, 2018 season, Gorman is unstoppable, right? Going for 10 in a row. They've gone from a team that is in the conversation locally, right, that was behind Palo in Vegas, right, to a team that is now a perennial national top 10 team, regardless of who they have on the roster. This is the first year Gorman doesn't have an experienced quarterback under center since Randall Cunningham Jr. 5 or 6 years ago. And so it's going to be interesting. The one thing I'm going to tell the listeners, CK, is I'm not going to use the terms they're weak at a certain position. I'm going to say they have no experience. Is that friendly?
Yeah, because they're not weak at any position compared to the rest of the teams. Your touchstone's obviously a little different than mine since you've been around longer, but like I said, every single year I've been here, Gorman has won the state championship. Never seen them lose a game to an in-state opponent, for better or for worse. I think that would mostly be for worse because it means we've had no competition.
Have you ever seen them lose, period?
Yeah, I think okay. I covered the one game off TV where they lost last. Didn't they break like a 50-game win streak or something last year?
Yeah, but they were in California. You physically weren't there. Have you physically seen them lose?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I certainly don't think so. And I don't think it's going to happen again this year. I mean, maybe one of the national games, but not to a local opponent. I guess my touchstone, though, when they were – kind of not invincible was my first year. I do remember vividly you picked Vegas to win the state championship.
Yeah, that ship sailed quickly.
And that's an annual part of this podcast of you being too high on the Wildcats, so I can't wait till we get into that division this year.
Yeah.
See if it's the same way. Yeah. But so yeah, that's if you've listened before, you kind of know the format. Every week we're going to kind of talk about a couple of different topic points before we get into the picks, where we'll go through all of this week's games. You can find them online, usually sometime Monday at the high school football page at LasVegasSun.com. But for the first day, we usually go through division by division, and the division's a little bit different this year. I know I think the NIAA meets every 2 years for kind of realignment, and I know this one was kind of testy. There was a lot of discussion points of how they were going to do it. I don't know that we necessarily wound up with it correct, but we wound up with something different.
Yeah, so it's no longer the sunrise and sunset. It's the mountain and the desert for the large school classification. And Gorman goes over to the old sunrise. So Gorman and Liberty are in the same region. So Gorman has won 9 straight regionals in a row. Liberty's won 8 straight regionals in a row. That streak's going to end. And over in the old sunset region, which I believe is the mountain or desert, I'm not sure. I have to pull that up. But Faith, Arbor View, Desert Pines will be competing for the regional championship. Arbor View, clearly the team to beat. They've been a perennial 10-win team the last 4 years, give or take, always having their season end in late November to Bishop Gorman in the playoffs. Well, this year, if their season's done into Gorman, it would be in the state championship game. And that creates some excitement over in the old Sunset region because between Arborview, Faith Lutheran, Desert Pines, and Legacy, who I really, really, really like, Case, the playoffs are going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, my first petty gripe of the year is I hate the mountain and the desert. I don't know if it's just the way my mind works, but it took me about 7 or 8 years to finally learn which one was the sunrise and the sunset, and I always got that wrong. Now there is no chance I'm going to know which one is the mountain and the desert. So I'll just say the Gorman Liberty one, obviously the two heavyweights. I think we're going to see those two play. Liberty always comes in confident against Gorman, and you know they seem like the program that's the closest to them, but haven't been able to keep it that close yet. And in the other side, I mean, like you said, it all starts with Arborview, and Arborview's had this amazing run but never got a regional title. This year, I think everyone's going to be picking them. But, I mean, it could be a little dangerous. There's some other I'm ready to say Gorman's going to win a region. I just don't know about Arborview yet. They're certainly the favorite, but it's always a little bit feels weird when you're going to pencil them in. When I mean, there's some other up-and-coming programs. They're not going to have just a cakewalk to that first regional title.
I think Desert Pines is a huge wild card. The two-time defending 3A champions through realignment now back in the large school classification. They're in the Mountain Northeast League with Legacy, Canyon Springs, Las Vegas, El Dorado, and Mojave. Poor Mojave, their best player moved to Arizona. He was the reason they made it to the state game last year, and now they're going to get destroyed in the 4A. However, Desert Pines, what do we make of Desert Pines? Well, they've got a tailback going to Minnesota and Cameron Wiley. They've got Darnell Washington, who is a tight end defensive lineman who is big and physical and has got offers from Alabama and everybody else. They've got this kid, Gabriel Lopez, right, on the defensive line who has got a ton of scholarship offers, just a junior. They got another kid who's got a USC offer, Jordan Butler, on the defensive line. So talent-wise, DP is arguably the most talented team in the new region, right, in the new mountain region. However, they don't have as much depth as Arborview, right? Arborview is going to be able to send out, you know, multiple bodies. They're going to get kids breaks. They don't have kids necessarily going both ways, and they're probably better in the trenches. So when those two worlds collide, it's going to be an interesting outcome, because on paper, if everybody's healthy, it reminds me of that Desert Pines Arborview game in the 2016 season, right? Where
you picked Desert Pines
and they won.
Huh?
Last year I had...
Oh, I remember the year they lost like by like 40, I thought.
No. There was three years ago,
gotcha.
Arbor lost the DP, and then they took a year off, and then last year Arbor smashed them.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that. Sorry. So, yeah, like I said, I'm trying to get up to speed here. Brewer is the expert. Sometimes he's like the mosquito out sucking all the information out of all you, and I just sometimes at this part of the year have to be the mosquito net and just try to stop some of the ridiculous things you say, but clearly not the one there.
I hate to waste our breath and our listeners' ears on this realignment garbage, but if you look at some of the teams that got stuck playing in the top division because they wanted to have some balance, El Dorado, please. They've been getting destroyed for so many years. They deserve an opportunity to play at the lower level. My Cowboys, even though they had some success in the lower level, well, now they're in a league with Green Valley, Foothill, Coronado, Basic, Liberty. All schools that have three levels of programs, a ton of athletes, totally unfair. Bonanza, I love Deion Lee. He's our guy, right?
Yeah.
He's family. And he's in a pretty tough league, right? He's got to play Faith. He's got to play Arborview. He's got to play Palo. He's got to play Centennial. He's got to play Shadow Ridge. All those schools have money and a ton of kids. So why should Bonanza be playing them? Clark, you can make the same argument. Why is Clark in the league with Gorman? They need to be on the lower level. But anyways, it's impossible to get this right. You and I even sat down here one day and tried to do it. Do you remember when I forced you to do that?
Vaguely. I do remember we have some version of this conversation every year, and while I do think that they haven't got it right and I'm a little critical, mm-hmm. I'm usually not as critical as you just because I think there's no way to do it right. Not with...
I agree.
I mean, it's impossible.
I agree. And if you get too many teams down on the lower level, then you've got the Moapa Valleys and Virgin Valleys of the world who have 599 students total. Like, okay, hey, why are we playing against a school of 1,500 kids? So you can't win to lose. But let me ask you this, Case. You played football. I bring that up every year.
Every episode, maybe.
Every episode. You're our football expert. you understand the game. You know what an A-gap is and all that, neck roll and all that stuff. You saw all the teams come through for media day, right?
Yes.
So for our media day, we held it at Red Rock this year. It was awesome. Greens and Proteins served up some food. And I saw a team that just popped off at me, right? Like, because the players come by, and you could tell these are your best three kids, right? Or your best four kids or whatever it is.
Supposed to be three.
Supposed to be three, yeah. So those kids come in, and you're like, whoa, these guys have got some Jimmys and Joes. They could go. There's two teams for me where I was like, whoa, here we go. We got a chance. Was there a team for you that you were like, wow?
There were a couple, but unfortunately, that whole day is kind of a blur. So I can't remember. I was telling you this other day, there was some team that really popped out at me that I thought, like, wow, these kids, they're talking the talk. They seem confident and they seem big. Maybe they're going to be better than expected. Unfortunately, I cannot remember which team that was. I will say one that kind of already had that step up year last year that kind of has me fired up again this year with the way they talked. And it seems like they have some more pieces would be Sierra Vista.
Sierra Vista is one of those teams that done a good job. The Solomon family's over there. A good job of attracting some Polynesian families. They're senior heavy. They got an absolute chance. They're a top 10 team. KSAT's a great pick.
And I think I know where you're going with yours. Man. You've kind of already teased it.
There's two teams that that stood out for me, but when Legacy came in, did you notice that those kids had a little extra? Maybe the shirts were a little tighter on them, right? Amari Foster, Jerry Martin, Lee Wilson, Aaron Holloway, the tailback, sophomore, super stud. And I just think now they're not going to get beat up every week in that black and blue division. Now they're over in the Northeast where they got Canyon, they got DP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you're not going to get better with a few games at the back end of that schedule, Mojave and El Dorado. But I just think Legacy's got a legit chance to be a one seed, right? They're going to be confident because they're beating teams. You know Ice has got those boys running the rock, right, CK?
Yeah, they run throw the rock too.
They don't got adult. They're inexperienced at quarterback.
Okay, well, right? typically Ice has a pretty balanced offense, which
I like.
But they
could run the rock. They're going to be confident in the playoffs. And you know when you get to November, man, you get a little confidence and a little swagger, right? You face a team that, you know, has got some injuries. It's a little colder out in the mountain, and things could happen. The other team that I liked stood out for me was the Foothill Falcons, right? They got the Wilsons, not related. They got the Blakely kid who plays all over, defensive back, running back. The Riggin kid was just a sophomore last year. He's back at quarterback as a junior, right? They got a big kid, Mateo, that's in the trenches making tackles. And I'm like, wow, where do the Falcons play into this? Because remember last year, they gave Liberty a little bit of a run for a half. Okay, we love the defense with Talich. You know, maybe they don't got enough to where the one thing we met when we talk in the preseason, we can't predict injuries. You know what I mean? You get one kid that goes down, whether it's something nasty like a knee or if it's a hammy or if it's a concussion for a week or if it's an F grade in the class, all things that happen to every team, right? Well, now all of a sudden you got to plug in with somebody who's not ready to play, or you got to move somebody from somewhere that's doing well into a position, right? You got to take something that's helping you and put it somewhere else. And that's where you see some parity with these teams. Like, we know Gorman's going to be there. We know Arbor, we know Liberty, right? But all the other teams, Faith, DP, Legacy, Foothill, the Basic Wolves, the Green Valley Gators, these teams, the Sierra Vista Mountain Lions, They gotta have a lot go well, right? They gotta have a winning record turning in October. They gotta have some confidence. They gotta be healthy. They gotta be filling out the scantrons and passing the exams, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we never talk about that. We assume that everybody that's on the roster when the toe meets leather to start the season is gonna be there when it ends. and there's injuries. And
I don't think you really assume that, but you just have to. I mean, that's you can only evaluate. You can't evaluate saying, "Well, I think this kid's going to get injured." So I mean, we just have to go with what we have. But yeah, I think Foothill's a good shout. They won 8 games last year too. They were no walkover last year. So if they take another step forward, they could be scary. And you certainly would think they're in the mix to be, you know, right behind Liberty in the Southeast on paper.
Yeah, and now here's the thing you got to look at too. If you're in the Southeast, which is a real fun league, right?
Are we just going to start going through the leagues now? Seems like we've naturally transitioned into that with the Southeast. But
if you're the Southeast, when you're talking about playoffs, you got to remember who's on the other side, the G, the big bad G, right? If you take 4th in the Southeast, you're going up there for an exhibition game in the first round of the playoffs, right?
Before,
if you would take 4th, you'd have a chance to beat up on a Canyon in the first round.
Yeah,
right?
We saw a couple different years where the Southeast went 4-0, I believe.
So now let's go through the new Southeast. Well, you got Shap, Coronado. Everybody who's anybody thinks those two teams are going to have a hard time making the playoffs. Liberty, the whatever, they haven't lost to a team in their region with the exception of a Canyon game, so they got 1 loss in 8 years. GV, Foothill, and Basic. Let me go through Coronado real fast. They got 2 guys who I really like. The kicker, Gavin Whale. I saw some kid from some school talking trash to Coronado, your best player's a kicker. Well, I'd love to have that kid. He kicks and punts the heck out of the ball, right?
He's going to be a kicker and punter in college, too, probably.
He's first place in, like, all these Chris Saylor punting events. The kid could do it, and he puts a lot of time in his craft. Then they got this kid, Samaj Bolin, going to Portland State. He's quick. He's going to – now, the new coach over there, Riddle, he was at Arborview forever. So he's bringing Dan Barnson's misdirection wing offense with him. So Barnson's got a lot of disciples now. Fawcett Vista, our guy Travis Foster at Shadow, and now Riddle at Coronado. So the Bolin kid could really get at and go. Going to Portland State, he's quick. He plays DB. He's never coming off the field, right? And then the other kid that I really like is Isaiah Hartfield, Officer Hartfield's son. And that kid could play too. He's going to play wing back. He'll play linebacker. Listen, Coronado's kind of hitting the reset button. They're going to hope to shock some people.
And real quick on them, my turn to be ridiculous. I'm not ready to just pencil in the 4 playoff teams. I'm high on Coronado. I would not be surprised if they upset someone. I don't know who it would be, but I think Coronado is going to be decent. What have we seen? Like you said, all these guys that coach with Barnson. Barnson's no dummy. He's got a good staff over there. They've all stepped in and done well at programs that had been down. And this is Coronado we're talking about, too. This isn't like some program that's tough to get numbers, get players. We've seen Coronado be very good before. They've had a rough downturn the last few years. But I just think that's a sleeping giant, so to speak. And I would not be surprised at all if they pull an upset or two and are in the playoff mix.
I agree with your theory. Your theory is that Coronado is a school that's got high enrollment, a lot of resources, and there's no reason why they can't be Liberty. But they ain't going to be Liberty this year, baby.
I'm saying they could be a 4 seed. Not exactly saying they could be Liberty. And I like Bolin. I like Bolin more than you.
Bolin. So you're saying they could be in the exhibition game.
I'm saying, yeah, they could play Gorman. They could be playing Gorman.
Okay, I would love to see Basic versus Gorman at Basic. Just 2 grade 8 teams, first teams. Anyways, let's talk about the best team in town, the Shap Cowboys.
I'm probably a little more pessimistic here.
Okay, so am I. They've got some kids that could play. Thomas Benitez, offensive and defensive lineman. He's a big kid, 6'2", 290. Marshawn Hawkins, a tailback. He looks healthy, 5'11", 190. Steve Torres. The thing with Shap is they're a typical school that's in the middle of town. They don't have enough Jimmys and Joes. They're one of these guys where if one kid, you know, gets cut on the ear while getting a haircut and they can't play, the whole house of cards falls down. So
I think you would play through a haircut cut.
Love my Cowboys. Love Don Willis, who takes over for Paul Neapoli. Love what they've built in the 3A by making it there a few times to the state semis. think it's a hell of a cross to bear moving forward.
All right, what's the – I mean, those are the two that I think most people are going to pick the bottom. But like I said, I am not writing Coronado off at all. What's the hierarchy otherwise? I mean, we know Liberty is by far the favorite. But do you put Basic, GV, and Foothill all – would you be equally surprised if any of them finish two? I guess are they all about the same odds, or is there one or two that stand out above the other two to you?
Well, I did our preseason top 10, and I had Basic at 6, which was as high as they've been throughout town.
I think that's a little kind coming off a 3-7 year.
But look,
they were ahead of Green Valley.
They were. If you got to remember,
are they ahead of Green Valley?
They're ahead of Green Valley. The Henderson Bowl's coming home, baby. Don't
wow.
worry.
Have they not won a Henderson Bowl in a couple of years?
No, they won two
years ago.
Green Valley just got it back last year.
Okay, and they won two.
Here's my deal
okay.
with Basic. You know I love that quarterback, Myro.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's got a cannon, bro. He just doesn't know where it's going. So
I mean, he was a sophomore last year. I think he's going to be better this year.
Again, yeah. So they won 3 games last year. They closed on a 4-game losing streak. He could have contributed to that because he was so young. But you got to remember, they went through some drama midseason. They had to forfeit a game. They weren't the same team after that. They got dinged up a little bit. But look at who they got at tailback, CK. Dorian McAllister. You know the name. The McAllisters have won a lot of games in this league, right? There's a McAllister on every level of Basic football. They're all great. This kid is unstoppable. The Basic offense is the best behind Liberty in the league, right? Cahill every year has got an all-state receiver, and he scores 40 points a game. He's got a returning quarterback. He's got a great running back, right? And then guess what? They got some dudes up front. Trace Evans, 3-year guy, middle linebacker. Julio Duran, the wrestler on the O-line and D-line. And then they got that kid Franco Mays who's going to have a stud year at wide receiver. I'm telling you now, watch out for the Wolves.
I mean, Basic could be great. They could lose only to Liberty and be the number two, and I still think that this is ridiculous, and you're being way too high on them. Looking at their schedule last year, they lost the last 2 games 91-0 combined.
Dude,
there's no way they should be number 6 and ahead of Green Valley going into the season. There's got to be some respect for what happened.
This is a new year.
There's still – you got to have a little bit of respect for what happened.
McAllister.
I like Basic. I know I'm sounding like the negative one right here, but I think 6 going into the year is a little high for me. I want them to prove it.
Okay.
Just because you look good on paper, I want to see them – let's see who they open with. I want to see a game or two first before I'm singing their praises.
Okay, well, let's talk
They've got
about...
Durango this week and Clark. I think they got a pretty good chance to
They're
going to
be
2-0 pretty...
and film darn good about them.
And then they got Shadow Ridge, which is an interesting game at Basic.
Yeah, well, Shadow Ridge has got to travel there. That's like going from Salt Lake to Boulder City. Okay, Green Valley, your Gators case. Well, their best player is really good. Kalaja Wa'alali. Wide receiver, undersized, but dude, he dissected people last year, right? Now, granted, Green Valley graduated its quarterback. They're going to start a first time guy, right? But Kalaja could go as good as anybody in the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mitch Jacobs, Brant Hershberger, those guys could play D. Julian Hulse, I don't know if that's how you say it correctly.
It's Hulse.
Hulse?
I think.
Why
could be wrong.
You say it
running back, right? He played last
year.
Yeah,
he had a lot of yards too, bro. He could go.
Yes.
Okay, the one thing about Green Valley, now tell me if I'm right, and Castro might kill me if I say this. Do they have a keen ability to play down to their opponents?
No.
You don't think so?
No, they've been super consistent, I feel like.
Okay, maybe.
They've been more consistent than your beloved Basic. Basic's had some great years, but they've also had some down years. I feel like Green Valley's had less down years.
Basic's been in the championship game like 3 of the last. They've lost to Liberty 3 of the 8 times. And Green Valley lost last year. And it's Green Valley and Basic are like, they're nipping at Liberty's heels constantly.
Yeah, and Green Valley actually did miss the playoffs 2 years ago. So
they had a down year.
Yeah, so they did have a down
year. But you
got to
remember,
have a
Green Valley's
year.
Had some great players over the years. Lopez, Lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sent a kid to San Diego State, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with you on paper. I think these two teams look pretty even, but I don't know. I think Green Valley, to me, I don't ever remember them really looking poor against playing down to their competition, so to speak. Maybe I'm just misremembering, but.
Okay, can I tell you how old I am?
Sure.
Okay, there's a lineman for Green Valley, William Bonkovich,
uh-huh.
graduated with his dad from Shap. Also, bringing up the Foothill team, well, there's a kid from Basic who, Redner, I covered his dad in the 90s at Basic, and there's a kid from Foothill who's going to Air Force, Jordan Blakely, who's probably the best two-way player in town, whose dad I also covered, Jason Blakely.
Jordan Blakely and Kalijah Wiley, they got to be on the high school team of how is that guy still there? It both feels like they've been. It feels like they've been contributors for 5 years now. So yeah. Those are two key guys that I think to watch out for in the Southeast.
There's a Bo Taylor from Gorman, offensive lineman. He's going to UCLA. I'm like, really? You're still in school? So, again, Foothill, Green Valley, Liberty. Let's talk real fast about the Falcons. They got the Wilsons unrelated, Braden Wilson and Jordan Wilson. Mateo Montegre. You know I'm not good at names. What's his last name? Montegre?
Monterde?
Monterde. Okay. And then up front, they got this Julian Bradley kid who's like 6'3", 280. That's big.
So they got some size.
They got guys who were playing for 3 years. They got a college kid. They got a returning quarterback. There's a lot to like about Foothill. Case, there's a lot to like about Liberty, bro. Now, Liberty's 8-time champions, right?
Right.
They don't have a returning quarterback. Other than that, right, you got Kyle
Beaudry.
Beaudry going to UNLV. Great decision for his future, right? 6'1", 225. Cervantes White at wide receiver. Ton of offers. Zyrus Thiusau, got to be one of the best sophomores in town, if not the best, depending if you're a Faith Lutheran fan or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Luke Tamalataya kid up front, Austin Fieyesu, Zyrus's brother.
I like how their brothers hit you, said their last name totally different.
That's all right. Also going to UNLV. And then the Brandon, and I can't remember the kid's last name from Liberty, kid. Yates, Brandon Yates, got an offer from West Virginia, CK.
Oh, wow. That's hits home for you.
Oh, so, anyways, from West Virginia. So, this Liberty team, bro, is stacked. You could argue, and this is hot take, so throw some water on me, all right? Does Liberty on paper, have more proven returners than Gorman?
You would know better than me, but I would say I doubt it. I mean, Gorman's got to have – I think this is an argument we get into every year. I think you're sometimes a little too fixated on the skill players. I bet Gorman, if you go in total, they have some probably linemen that are back. They probably have some linebackers. I know they have at least one linebacker. I bet they've got some guys that had some experience in big games. It's got to at least be close. I'm not ready to just give Liberty that distinction.
Okay, speaking of big games, Polynesian Classic this year, Liberty plays IMG Academy.
That's crazy because IMG, I mean, not I don't really follow the national scene that much, but I know they're always a top five program, and they have a million kids in colleges that are always making differences. So who's next?
Well, let's talk about the other half of the desert region, the Southwest League, which is Silverado, located a rock's throw from Liberty, but now playing against Clark, Sierra Vista, Spring Valley, Gorman.
Desert Oasis.
Desert Oasis in the new league. Desert Oasis.
I might be a little crazy, but I think there's a much clearer 1-2 here. You got to be looking at Gorman 1, Sierra Vista 2. I thought we said... separated these in leagues. Brewer struggling to figure out the Southwest.
I know Silverado is a lot healthier this year than they were last year. They like to think they could be the second. And what about Durango, right? They've had
some decent years.
Caden Renshaw, a 3-year returner at quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have TK Fotu, running back slash linebacker. The thing with that league is I think we're going to see a lot of great games, right? Sierra Vista, Durango, Desert Oasis, Clark, Silverado, Spring Valley. Get rid of Gorman, and you got yourself a great battle for number two, right? And I was at that Sierra Vista Gorman game last year.
I'm with my Sierra Vista at number two. Maybe you can convince me great battle at number three, but you look at what Sierra Vista did last year. It just seems like a program on the up and up. I got to go with them at number two, but I agree that it does look like a pretty even division other than the top. And I don't know. It's tough for me to say who's going to be the three and the four coming out of the Southwest.
Yeah, Sierra Vista, real fast, their quarterback is Polo Solomon, who's Anu's brother, the Gorman great. They've got a returning running back in Brian LaGrange. Their best player is this linebacker, running back, Josiah Manavaya.
Maiva.
Tristan Jimenez at wide receiver, and Austin Smits on both lines. So the Lions are very, very experienced. They're a top 10 team for a reason, and it's going to be interesting to see how they go. Very interested to see how Silverado pairs in the new league. Case, look at some of these sizes, bro. And does size matter?
And football, I would think so.
Okay, here, let me tell you.
Unless you can't move. I mean, you got to be quick, too. But
let me read you the line here. David Parker, 6'1", 305. Trev Glee, 6'2", 335. Vaughn White, 6'4", 275. Right? That gives the quarterback, Kanaya Hopili, a lot to work with. And the running back is Jacob Mendez. I think the Hawks are a playoff team. I really do.
Okay, I think this next team I might be a little more sold on just based on the top two names. Another guys that have been playing forever, Caden Renshaw, who you already mentioned, and TK Fotu. That kid was a beast.
Absolutely.
Last
beast.
Year.
On the preseason all-city team. Great kid. The Caden Renshaw kid's great as well. Think about it. Having a three-year starter at quarterback, what does that do for you? The options now are just so wide open because you got a kid who's mature, who's intimate with the offense. He's ready to go. Frankie Pelton as well. Jaden Nesinger. A lot of seniors on this team for Durango, CK. So
I've got three of my playoff spots penciled in right now. Okay. You didn't sell me totally on Silverado. I think they have a chance. But I've got Gorman, Vista, Durango.
Okay.
In.
Well, the teams that are going to have a struggle, Desert Oasis didn't win a game last year. Right? So if they win one game, it's a heck of an improvement. They return Christian Vaughn at tailback. Their best guy's probably the offensive tackle, Brandon Cuevas, 6'5", 255. We'll see what happens with these guys. They won a lot of games last year. They just couldn't get a dub. New season, they start with Del Sol Friday night. Clark High, I love the Isaiah Bigby kid. He's been there since day one. He's been a starter since his freshman year. Plays wide receiver, DB, has also played quarterback. Led him in tackles last year, led him in receptions. Another athlete of sorts, Isaiah Veal, 5'8", 185. He's a senior as well. Their linebacker is probably Antoine McClure and Marcus Alexander. Listen, Clark's going to go. They shouldn't be in the league, but you got to give them credit for stepping up and playing, right?
Correct. What about the only one we haven't mentioned, Spring Valley?
Spring Valley, I don't have their sheet with me. So they're another team. Marcus Teal's been there forever. He's established some good traditions. They've snuck into the playoffs a few times, and we'll see how they do. And, of course, Gorman, give a rundown of some of their players. Two returning linemen in Bo Taylor and Cade Briggs. You know Gorman's going to be good up front, right? Ahmad Cianelli is back at tailback, and they got another kid waiting in the rings who's going to push him. How do you say that kid's name? I screwed it up at Media Day.
Caillou Kelly?
Caillou Kelly going to Stanford. Super quick in the secondary, very intelligent, team leader. And I think the question that everybody, you know, has for Gorman is they've got some inexperience, right? The guys who make tackles are first-time starters. The quarterback, Micah Bowings, first-time starter, right? How's he going to execute the offense? Now, the thing with Gorman is they're going to be thrown to the wolves right away. They open with Modern Day on the 23rd or 4th.
Who broke their win streak that we mentioned earlier last year.
With Gorman. The guy who's going to who left high school a year early to play quarterback at USC.
Right. JT Daniels, I believe. Yeah, so that definitely fits with a tough opening for Gorman, but we certainly think they're going to win that league in the end. I guess we'll finish off the big level before we go down and discuss the lower level for a little bit, but I think next up is the Northwest, where Arborview has got to be the favorite, but another league where it looks like behind that, there's some cases that can be made for some different teams.
Yeah, so Arborview and Faith are 1 and 2 in this league. Arborview returns.
Just given Faith that number 2. No yeah, hesitation.
No question.
Were they a 2 last year?
I think they were. They gave Arbor a great game.
I feel like they had some really close games though last year, other than just Faith. I mean, 6-4 last year.
Faith is a team that's still evolving. They went from 3A power to the 4A. They've got a lot of great players. They've got a lot of good younger players like Ma'a Geoete, who's just a sophomore. The linebacker Hunter Capano.
Yeah, they very well could be even better this year. But, I mean, you look at last year, they had 4 games that were decided by a touchdown or less in a row. Not all in the division, but 3 of them. They barely lost to Arbor, as you said. They had to eke out that crazy win against Palo Verde. Legacy nearly beat them, and Green Valley beat them by 6. So that's a lot of close games for me just to pencil in, like they're the number 2.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with Faith is, especially in the trenches, they're still becoming a 4A team, right? It just doesn't happen overnight. They've got a lot of recruitable kids. It's going to take time. Arborview, Bubba Graham back at tailback, had a great year last year. Logan Bollinger back at quarterback, had a great year last year. Those are two guys who've ran that offense forever. They were in the Arborview youth program. Billy Davis, when you got the wing, he's part of it. At linebacker, J.J. Tania has got an offer from Army and others. And in the secondary, they got the Niles Scafanti kid, Scafini. So Arborview could go, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Arborview, I think we're in agreement there's a clear one. Okay. I just said that maybe there's not a clear two.
Okay, so the clear ones in town are Gorman, Liberty, Arbor.
Correct.
If you had to say, and I'm throwing you under the bus, I totally did not give you time to prepare for this.
I'm not scared.
Okay. If there's one team that is susceptible to an upset, who would it be?
They're not going to want to hear this, but out of those three, I have to say Arbor.
Okay.
There's no doubt in my mind. Are you saying someone different?
No, I agree with
you. I'm not this sold on Faith. Faith is not my clear number 2. I think that they have the toughest division around them, maybe. I mean, Faith, Palo, Centennial, all these teams could sneak up. Shadow, okay, you could convince me any of these teams sneak up on them.
Centennial is very young still. Right?
Okay, still. Yeah, still, well, that's a problem.
Very, very young. You know, they've got...
Centennial is not the team I'm looking at to be a...
Who? What team are you looking at?
A team that you are perennially hate. There's some names that I remember from last year that look good. I like the coach. I'm on the Palo train.
Okay. Palo's got some, you know, they've got another Thomas in... Chiron Thomas, if you remember his...
Shamir. No, his brother?
Yeah, his brother.
Like, yeah.
The fourth Thomas. Just a sophomore. He's going to see a lot of carries. Mike Torres at tailback. Carson Winters at safety and wide receiver. Up front, big Jonah Singer, related to Zach, your guy.
Yeah, UNLV standout.
So Palo's ready to roll. You think Palo could beat Arbor?
Look, I think we argued
Barton
about...
Barton is...
No,
well, no. Barton, I swear to you right now,
I'm not picking Arbor to lose any game, but I was just saying the team I'm looking at that could be better than certainly you would expect, because I know you're always down on Palo. I think Palo, They have some guys, and I think you look still back to last year, maybe it was even 2 years ago too. Some of their losses were extremely close, and everything we know about football, extremely close losses. There's a lot of variance in that. Those tend to flip. They were a better team than 4-6 last year. They have some guys back this year. I don't think Faith Lutheran is leaps and bounds above them. Faith Lutheran had to score, 20 unanswered points in the final 8 minutes to beat them last year. So I think Paolo is in contention for that number two.
Yeah, and I think the one thing is that you take legacy out of this league, right? The old black and blue division. And then you've got Bonanza now part of it. And obviously that's a school where you got to get numbers up, right? And even though they have Kyle Allison back at quarterback, and they've got Justin Bacon at running back, they don't have a lot of Jimmys and Joes, right?
Yeah, I think Bonanza's out. This is the one we might be sleeping on, because we just kind of argued about Paolo or Faith at two. What about, Shadow, you could convince me he's going to sneak up too. They've been pretty consistent. I know they've had kind of the same script, right? They start fast and end slow, but you got to say that Foster's done a good job there.
He's done a phenomenal job. I just don't know if they have enough. Cody Presser, four-year starter, that helps. He only threw the ball 44 times last year, though. Anthony Wheaton at tailback, Maud Morris up front. Listen, this is a team that, for them, they haven't graduated yet to the playoffs. And I hate to say that, but I think Cimarron is a team. Jordan Norwood's back, right? This Mike Overland, the third kid, who he's got the best handshake in the history of high school football. Brandon Smith, Adrian Alonzo. I think Cimarron's a team that's right there as well.
You're high on their coach. I haven't talked to him very much.
God, that guy's
nothing
great.
Familiar, but
in Centennial, if you just look at that 2020 group, right? Jordan Smith, Aaron Johnson, Sammy Wallace, they got some kids that could go. Interested to see how they get the ball to the wide receivers, because they've got a few good ones in Walden and Garrett. But Centennial, I think, is good sophomores and juniors. They're a year away.
That's right? A dangerous team, though, to me. Sometimes when we talk about teams that have, young, maybe a year away, they gel faster. They're better than we think. Okay. So I think Centennial's kind of a wild card here.
Okay, for me in this league, I got Arbor and Faith over here, and I've got Paolo, Cimarron, Shadow, Bonanza, Centennial could beat each other.
All right, well, I'm going to put you on the spot more, make you have to pick one. So who's your fourth playoff team? It sounds like, even though you're not as high on Paolo as me, it sounds like Arbor, Faith, Paolo you probably have in there, right?
I think my playoffs are Arbor, Faith, Paolo, Centennial, Bonanza, and Shadow.
Wow, I can't believe we wound up in the same spot. That's what I was going to say, but I would not be surprised at all. Shadow and Centennial both, I could see a wide range of possibilities.
Okay.
But you kind of talked me out of Shadow a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, well, this one is probably the most interesting as far as who's going to win it, Northeast.
Let me start with this narrative, CK.
Go for it.
For years, we've watched Canyon Springs kind of dominate the Northeast, right?
Ever since the days of Hunky.
Okay, and what happens when they get to the playoffs?
They've had some little bit better success lately. Beat your basic Wolves 41-0 last year.
Because, Case, they hadn't played anybody in league. Remember, there was a day when they were beating up on Rancho, Valley, and Eldo in league games, right? Because they didn't have anybody to play in the league, they get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden they'd have to turn it on.
This was your argument before they won 40-0 last year, so they hadn't played anyone, so they weren't ready. I think
Case,
you picked.
I misunderstood how basic.
And they
was.
Barely lost to Green Valley. I think that it's unfair to these kids to say they've had no success
all
in the playoffs.
All I'm saying now is that you got three teams that are going to be fun to compete against each other.
Okay, so you're saying they'll be better prepared for the playoffs this year?
Having to go legacy, big, physical, fast, Desert Pines, pedigree of winning, a ton of D1 kids, and the Pioneers, right? Those are three good teams.
That's very good.
If you enter the playoffs, though, having to play Eldo, Mojave, and unfortunately my Wildcats aren't great this year, you're going to be in trouble because those three teams aren't going to get you much better. Okay? For whatever it's worth, let's go through the teams. Who do you want to start with? Because I got a hot take at the end of this thing.
Let's go with Canyon. We've already been talking about them. Tell me why Canyon can win this league.
Well, Javion Pugh is back, and I don't know if anybody tackles him in that league, the running back. They got the transfer from Mojave and Xavier DeLong, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're big up front. They have some size up front with Donovan Wolfe. Keyvon Lakes, decent linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it wants. We'll see how it plays out. We know special teams is always an adventure. And, you know, they got the fire.
Yeah, I feel like they're being a little overlooked. I think most people are kind of excited about them.
Oh, dude, if you're now all of a sudden getting classified with DP and Legacy, everybody's overlooked.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Okay. I think that we're excited about the new look of this division, but the fact is the name Northeast is still on it, and Canyon Springs has dominated that. They deserve to still be up there in the top tier. I want to see one of these teams beat them before I just crown one of these two teams.
So we talked about Legacy and DP already, right?
A little bit.
Okay. You know, I think with DP, everybody talks about Washington, the big recruit. Wiley, he's going to Minnesota. Lopez, who's got all the offers, that they kind of look past Ty Moore and Devin McGee. Two kids who are also recruited, one of whom's committed to University of New Mexico. So I think Desert Pines has got a good lineup of players. Again, I don't know if they've got, you know, backups that are up to the same caliber. They got to stay healthy.
And I'll say this about DP. It's very small. It's only like 5%, but I really do believe that mindset does make a difference. And those kids were among the most confident to come into our media day. I mean, you see what they wrote. Their goal is to win state, which we might look at and say, good luck. But these kids totally believe in themselves. And if you're in the close games, mm-hmm. if you think you're way better than whoever you're playing, I think that makes a difference. So I really liked how confident Canyon Springs was.
Totally agree with you. I don't know who I would pick between Legacy and DP, because to me they're 1A and 1B.
DP, excuse me. I said Canyon Springs.
Yeah. But I tell you what, if I'm Ice, I run that ball 1,000 times against Desert Pines. Wear them down, because you're going to be bigger up front.
Not this again. We're in 2018, running the ball 1,000 times. You're going to need to mix it up a little bit.
If you don't have a quarterback...
All right, we'll see. I guess we need to see. How do you know if they have a quarterback? Have you been out? Have you been out to their practice?
They got a kid that's standing there taking the ball.
What if he's good?
He's not as good as the guy they had last year.
All right, we'll see. I know Ice is going to have a balanced offense out there. Prove me right.
Well, all right.
That's our guy. He's got to be one of the most discussed people on the podcast.
I love that guy. Okay. Vegas Wildcats, they don't have they're kind of – They're leveling off, but they got some guys that could go. Cody Summers, Miles Davis, Trevor Johnson, Jonathan Broadhead, and Darren Aku. Aku's a wide receiver. Summers is going to carry the rock. Love the coach over there, Eric Capetillo. He doesn't have as much to work with as some of the guys before him. They're not big. This is the smallest Vegas team we're going to see since 1941.
Since 1941? I doubt that's true, but I like the I like the sentiment. Are they the four, you think? Because the last two are about to go over El Dorado and Mojave. Do you still have Vegas a little bit above these two?
I do. El Dorado, obviously they play my Cowboys for the Cleat game. Huge game for them. They're standouts. Jalen Moore, quarterback, safety. Guillermo Hernandez at linebacker, Michael Perez at tailback, Trayzon Turner at wide receiver, and Santonio Smith Hightower at wide receiver. Again, El Dorado's a team that we've talked about. Everybody knows the narrative. That's tough sledding. Mojave, great year last year, lost in the state championship game. Now they are...
On the upper level.
They lost the kid to Canyon. They lost the kid to Arizona. They do return Kamaran Philogene at quarterback. Isaiah Harper, big boy, 6'4", 180. Ivan Pera up front. Noah Thompson. Be interesting to see how the Rattlers do. They're extremely undersized. But they're going to have some winnable games.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. So I guess we got to jump into the lower level now. We're through all the teams.
Yeah, we'll start in the sunrise where
we still have sunrise and sunset in the lower.
Sunrise,
that's nice.
And sunset, Moapa Valley, CK.
It's got to be the favorite.
Yeah, they're a bigger favorite than Gorman, I think, in that league.
Yeah, I think last year they were super young. They're a little bit more experienced this year. I mean, all the names that are going to stand out are guys that you saw kind of go through it last year, adjust to playing varsity, and I think this year they're primed and ready to make a difference. You got Derek Reese, Luke Bennett, Braden St. John. I just remember all those guys putting up decent numbers by the end of last year.
Yeah, and they were young the past 2 years, which explained why they weren't the old Moapa that we loved. The path for them to get to Truckee or to Fallon is so clear. I mean, they're going to be the clear one in this league. They're going to have home games all throughout the playoffs. They're going to be confident. You know, the Derek Reese kid is 6'4", 220. They got an experienced quarterback in Bennett. The Hayden Reed kid, just a junior, is going to carry the rock. Remember, it got so bad they lost a virgin last year in a hammer game.
I was about to say, the one reason why I'm not ready – I'm picking them to be the one, let's be clear. But the one reason why I'm not ready to give them the distinction of the clear one is the hammer is not even in Overton right now. It is in Mesquite. I don't know what to expect from Virgin Valley. I know they're all everything guy is gone. I know some other guys are gone. Like I said, I favor Moapa, but that was such a monumental thing for Virgin. I got to give them some respect for getting over that hump.
Hammer is being guarded by a bunch of juniors right now.
All right, well, those juniors
Virgin
could...
Virgin Valley is a very junior heavy team. Those juniors aren't that big or strong. They got some kids, Wyatt Delano, Vicente Pinto, who could go. The quarterback, Hollinshead, just a junior. They got one big kid up front, Jeremy Perkins. Just not as big as the guys at Moapa.
Hammer game, not until the last game of the season. So yeah, there's a chance for them to come together first. That's a favorable schedule for Virgin. I think Virgin is going to be good again. New coach. It's going to be a new look, Virgin Valley. But, again, don't just count them out because they lost some guys.
All right, so Boulder City, a year after playing an independent schedule to kind of get its bearings, they're back in the league. And they had a new filter filled. Looks nice.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Yeah.
Hot, though. I wouldn't want to get tackled on that. Would you?
Oh, I like turf way better than grass. I always rather get tackled on turf. Now, our school had grass, but some other schools we played had turf.
But in the summer here.
Now we have turf.
It's hot, though.
I don't care. I'm allergic to grass. I don't want to mess with grass.
Did you go to your tenure?
Yes.
You did?
Wait. Yes.
Reunion?
Yeah.
Did I know you then?
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Did we talk about it?
No.
Why not?
It wasn't really a highlight of my life.
Well, how can you bring that up? When did you?
I don't think reunions matter. This is a whole other topic, but I don't think. I think in the Facebook age that reunions are just lost their luster.
I agree with that. Hey, we got.
I'd say about half our class was like maybe. I mean, my class was the biggest in the history of the school, and I think it was only 80. I would say maybe there's in the 30s there. Yeah, but she knows most of the people.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, we got our big Shap alumni soccer game on Saturday.
Oh, you do that every year.
Yeah, I'm having a heart. Bro, I could barely – so I went for a walk this morning.
Trying to train?
I just wanted to see how the old legs were. And then there was like this one little, I don't know, say 150-yard upward stair thing, and I tried to run it. And I swear to you, Case, my knees were hurting so bad. So I might be – I might show up, make a small financial donation.
What if they need you?
They're not going to need me. There has to be 10 people who are younger than 42 whose knees don't feel like this.
That's the one thing we miss with football. There's never any alumni football games.
Well, I think it's a liability thing.
Well, I know. I'm not saying there should be. I'm just saying I know, like, my high school always makes a big deal of the alumni basketball game. Fortunately, I didn't play basketball in high school.
Yeah, there's a guy who does a alumni softball tournament every year. So baseball teams get together and they play softball. Here in town.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Okay. I'm not a big softball guy, but certainly
I
think.
Am I, honestly,
yeah, it's cool for the people that are into it. I totally agree with
you.
It's
a way to, you know, stay active. Anyways, let me give you some of the Boulder players. Jimmy Dunnigan at running back and linebacker, and all these kids play both ways. Parker Reynolds is the quarterback. He's undersized. Their big guys, Michael Capasta up front. And there's Thornton Bauman as well for the Eagles. The good news for them is there's five teams in the league. We don't know much about Sunrise. They got a new coach. Rancho is trying to break its losing ways. And Gary Mackey's going to throw out there Ethan Overson at running back, Alex Bermuska at running back, Tristan Garza up front, and Zach Levitt on the line as well. Good luck to the Rams. I think it's Mwapa and whoever else wants to play. The path is easy for the Pirates.
I've got Mwapa and Virgin easily the top two here, and I just think I enjoy the lower level more when Mwapa and Virgin are battling for supremacy, and that is my prediction. I'm not as down on Virgin as you. I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out this year. The Sunset looks like the little bit tougher division, maybe over top to bottom, maybe not that great team at the top, but you can make some cases for at least a couple different teams maybe winning this one.
Yeah, I was at a Valley practice, and I was really impressed with what Coach Q is doing over there.
Bryce Jones, standout.
He's good, bro. I really like that kid. He could get at it. Running back, quarterback, defensive back. They're going to have to get him the ball. Another kid I like that I think is really underrated is this Tavion Mack kid at wide receiver. He looks the part. And Valley, I think they showed a slight improvement last year, right? They won some of these games against lower teams before they got up to the big league. Well, now they got to play lower teams exclusively. There's no reason to think that Valley can't win that league.
That'd be cool to see. I don't think Valley's going to be my pick, but certainly they could be in the mix. They were one of the teams I was mentioning.
You're not. I know who you're picking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't decided yet. I want to hear you talk. I'm deciding. I haven't decided yet. I'm deciding between two teams. One of them is Cheyenne.
Okay.
Cheyenne, this is the thing. They have a new coach, your buddy.
Sure.
Whose name escapes me at the moment, but that's what I was trying to tee you up to say his name, but I guess I failed on that. But here's what's more important to me than that. Yeah, he talks a big game. It sounds like they're going to be good if you just listen to him, but that's not the only reason. Cheyenne, it's not like they've been down. They've been up, 2 years ago they had a very good team. This isn't a program that's destitute.
You're right, they've had some good years. You're right. Coach Ward comes in. He's a guy that's been in Texas. They did well in the UNLV passing tournament. And it's Cheyenne, right? Cheyenne is a team that used to beat Gorman in the playoffs every year. So there's some history and tradition there. And they've got another Rose leading the way.
Josh Rose at quarterback. Chris Rose, also a lineman. He's got to be the biggest guy on the roster, 6'5", 285.
Nice.
So they got some size. I know in the past Cheyenne had struggles with size. Even their tailback listed at 215, Armand Clary. I'm on the Cheyenne bandwagon, but there is one other team I'm looking at in this division that could challenge them. You have a different team, actually, that maybe might be right up there.
I kind of like Del Sol, Ray Wilkins up front, Markell Turner, wide receiver. Wonder who's going to run the ball. We'll see how Trey Alexander does. Remember, they ran the ball so well last year. It's a team that, again, when you're in this league, anything can happen. You start winning a few games, and now all of a sudden you think you could go up to Reno and beat a team in the cold weather. So I like Del Sol, Ray Wilkins, Kamani Wilkes. We'll see what's going to happen. There's three teams left, Case, and I know you're not picking one of these two.
Oh, yeah, one of those two is one of
is
the
really?
One. Yeah, maybe I'm crazy. It's definitely not Western, who you picked to win the division last year.
Oh, that was a bad choice. Yeah. You like – so give us the narrative there, CK.
Democracy moving up, right?
Yes.
They played – was it 8-man before?
2A.
Or just
2A? It was
11,
yeah.
Okay, it was still 11. But they were no walkover. They've been pretty decent. They've had some decent years, right? The Blue Knights.
The Blue Knights, I love the uniform.
They've kind of worked their way up to this. They've got some seniors on their roster. They've got some guys that can play. Kelly Jones, really good DB and wide receiver. Got Vanell – Meals can't quite make out his name, but going to be getting a lot of carries. Micah Gaiman at quarterback. I don't know. I thought Democracy was a sleeper there. Am I wrong? I could be totally wrong. I don't know. Maybe it's just those fancy jerseys. They came in looking
good
at media day.
I think one thing with Democracy, Case, is it's going to take a while for them to get acclimated to the 3A. It's a bigger jump than you think from the 2A, especially when you consider they don't have a field. They practice on the grass over at Doolittle Community Center. So they don't have goalposts. They don't have yard markers. All stuff you really need to run a practice. I love Coach Jones. He's a great guy. His son is one of their better players. It's just going to take a while to build a program to get to that level. It's not like basketball where they're the best team in the division and it's not even close, where you only need a few guys that can go. Football, you got to have more. You got to build a program. This is year one for them.
Year one, home playoff game.
That means they have to finish in the top two.
And I got Cheyenne one. You were right, calling me out, saying you know I'm going to have Cheyenne.
I've got Valley, Cheyenne, Del Sol, Pahrump.
Oh, yeah, we haven't mentioned Pahrump. Give us the Pahrump rundown.
Well, as you know, Pahrump is impossible to beat in Pahrump. Nico Velasquez is back at tailback. Zach Treib up front. Brandon Bunker up front. Josh Belzer at safety. Like many teams in this classification, if they get hot, they could win some games. There's just such a contrast between Pahrump at home and Pahrump on the road.
All right, well, this is why the lower level is so fun, because we are totally different here. A team that I have as the number two, you don't even have in the playoffs. I think you've sold me on Valley. I'll have them as the three and probably should be favored too, but I've already hitched my wagon to the Blue Knights. I think I have to stay there. Del Sol, Pahrump, that will be interesting to me. I think they're fighting for the four, in my opinion. I got the other three above them. Maybe crazy. You sold me a little bit more on Del Sol. Seems like you think they're going to be pretty good.
Well, I actually – well, do you want to get to the picks?
Yeah, let's we'll finish this up. Sorry, the first one always a little bit longer. I will be a little more succinct in following weeks, but we got about 13 games, I think, to start off this Friday.
Trying to mention as many kids' names as possible.
Yeah, let's get through these first 13 games as quick as possible. So you were mentioning, what was the game you wanted to start with?
Well, let's go Del Sol D.O., right?
Right.
Desert Oasis at Del Sol. Desert Oasis didn't win a game last year. Eye test wise, for me at Media Day, I liked the way Del Sol Academy looked. I think that the Dragons and Coach Mike they're going to run the rock, baby, and they're going to get this done. I got Del Sol. It may be the only one in town, but I'm on the Dragons.
I'm going Desert Oasis. I think they were close last year, as you said, to breaking through, had a couple heartbreaking losses. I just think they're really hungry. I think they look at this as a spot where they can break that snide. I'm going with Desert Oasis here.
Yeah, and a lot of games case this week that are expected to be closely contested. So a pretty good week for the picks. As you always do, lead us off, baby.
All right, Valley View at Arbor View.
Yeah, Valley View of California. The Aggies, after years of resisting out-of-state competition, only going into Utah, they've got three out-of-state games. Can't wait for it. I think it makes them better. And I think they get a dub, baby. You know why? It's going to be hot out.
Did they resist it, or they just didn't
Look into it? I don't know if they resisted it. That would have been a bad word.
Okay.
Barnton might yell at me.
Trying to save you a little bit here.
I didn't mean resist. They didn't do it as much as some of the other teams.
I'm pretty disappointed. I think some of your theories are very conditional. I swear the old rule was you'd never pick a Las Vegas team unless it's Gorman against a California team. And now you're leading off the season picking a Vegas team, which I'm disappointed in because I thought I was going to have the Aggies and get a game up on you because I like the Aggies in this spot.
You've been outside. I can't even walk to the car without needing a glass of water.
And your knee hurting.
And my knee hurting. So you're telling me these guys from California are going to come in?
No, I like Arborview, but I was thinking...
And Barnton is going to run the raw... I swear to you, they're going to turn this into a... It's like sitting in
a meat
sun.
Grinder.
Yeah.
All right.
Arbor's going to outlast these guys.
We're in agreement. I like Arborview. I think you did. You kind of sold me on Valley View when we were talking about this game offline, though. You said they won 10 or 11 games last year.
Lost the
yeah, that being said, they did lose a lot of guys. But this is a challenge for Arborview. I mean, on paper, you got to think these two programs are pretty close to even,
I'd
right?
I'd pick Valley View if the game was in Cali.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, we're in agreement, though. We both got Arborview. Next game could be interesting. I said Centennial's a wild card. Don't know what you're going to get. And they host a team we're both high on to start the year, Sierra Vista. What world is it? I can't believe. I don't know any other year we'd unanimously be on Sierra Vista.
Yeah, and I hate to bring this up, but I was at the Sierra Vista loss last year to Gorman. I was really impressed with how they played the game. They played straight up. They were very organized. And they just return a ton of players. especially on offense. I would suspect they're going to be bigger than Centennial. It's a tough place to play. It's anything could happen. I wouldn't be surprised if Centennial wins, but I think this game belongs to the Lions.
All right, another game where you said there's a lot of close calls on this week one schedule, Cimarron and Cheyenne. It feels like they've been in some games maybe since I've been here, some close games, and I think this is going to be another one.
Yeah, it's a rivalry game. Both schools opened in 91, my sophomore year. I really don't know what to make of Cheyenne. I think Coach Ward has gone in there, and he hasn't potentially ready to do it. And I just think Cheyenne's got two players, Norwood and Overland, who are just going to be the best two players on the field. And I think that Cheyenne and Cimarron's going to be able to run the ball. The one thing I was impressed with Cimarron last year is how they won against teams they were supposed to beat, which would be lower-rated teams. And Coach had them ready to go. And I think they're going to be ready to go this time.
I'm just too high on the Desert Shields. There's no way I can pick against them in week one. I'm going with Cheyenne here. Coach Ward has sold me. I think he's got his team ready to go. I think they're going to be disciplined, not going to make many mistakes. And I think that'll be enough to win a close game with Cimarron. So we're different on that one. I've got Cheyenne. Green Valley is hosting Moapa Valley in a very interesting week one affair.
I cannot make heads or tails out of this. I'm so high on Moapa right now. Not to say that I'm low on Green Valley, but it's just I know Moapa just doesn't get smoked. You know what I mean? Even when they were awful the last few years, they managed to stay in games. You know, there's going to be first game jitters on both sides, first game mistakes. And if Kalaja and is it Hulse or Hulse?
I thought Hulse, but I could be wrong.
If those two guys get the rock in open space, this game's going to get over quick. But I really think Moapa, who's got very few tests this year against big opponents, I think Moapa is going to be able to control the game a little bit, force Green Valley into some things, and I think this thing's going to be darn close. I got the Gators, but I think this is the game of the week.
All right, I think that Moapa will play well. I think it'll be close for a while, but I think Green Valley will ultimately pull away. I think they got a few more athletes. I know they have a new quarterback coming in, but I've seen Green Valley before. I've seen that system. I'm not so convinced they're not going to be able to throw the ball pretty well from day one, even with a new quarterback. I've got Green Valley pulling away in the end, a little bit more lopsided than Brewer, but not a blowout by any means. The Bone game, Rancho and Vegas. Vegas going for, I don't know, 30-some straight wins, 20-some at least, and I think they're going to get it. I've got Vegas here.
I have Vegas big as well. This will be a record, though, CK.
Okay, what record?
Not only will be adding to Vegas's record of straight wins in the Bone game, this is the earliest the Bone game has been contested.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't start the year with your biggest rival.
Yeah,
even if it's not much of a rivalry anymore.
I'm not a big fan of starting on August whatever.
Yeah, and you sold this to me before that we were doing it because the season's going to end earlier, but the season's not ending earlier. It's like the season's 2 weeks longer this year in total.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm not sure.
It's ridiculous. All right, well, Mojave at Shadow Ridge. Sounded like I was a little higher on Shadow Ridge than you going into this season, which is kind of crazy, but I think that the Mustangs are going to run away here.
Yeah, fun fact, the Mustangs have scored on the first play of the season in the last 2 years. I got them running away.
That's wild.
Yeah.
All right. I think that streak's going to end, though. I think Mojave stops them on the first play. Bonanza and Valley. Here's one we disagree on.
Yeah, I you know me, CK. I've been giving you theories for 10 years now. Always take the best player on the field.
Which might have some merit in basketball, no merit in football.
Well,
no merit.
Well, Bryce Jones all the way, baby.
I think Bonanza, top to bottom. They got to have more numbers, more players. I don't dispute that Bryce Jones is the best, and maybe I'm totally wrong here. Maybe he takes the Vikings and they run away with it, but I like Bonanza.
You got Bonanza winning by 20?
Yeah.
Wow.
Am I crazy?
I don't know.
I got Valley has to break. I got to see it from Valley. I love Valley. I hope they're good, but have they ever? They've never been I don't know if any year here they've been better than Bonanza. It's tough for me to think all of a sudden they're going to beat them.
They had a good year last year, Valley, a better year. I mean, remember, Valley was a habitual losers, and then they had a decent year last year, and now are they going to build off it?
All right, Clark at Virgin Valley. I've got to go with Virgin Valley here. This is another thing where I think you have a rule that you only apply when you want, because sometime later in the year you're going to say Virgin Valley doesn't lose a Mesquite, yet you have them losing a Mesquite here.
Virgin Valley, extremely young. Clark's got a few guys that could go, and Bigby and Veal. I'm just going with the better players right now. Again, Virgin Valley, new coach, junior dominated. You don't know what to expect. If this game was at Clark, you'd have Clark by 2 touchdowns.
No, I wouldn't. You would. Okay, Pahrump going to Lowry. Is this another one where home team's the biggest difference for you?
Yeah, for me, Pahrump out of the hump isn't the same team.
Yeah, I don't, you know, this is based a lot just on history, not really what they have this year, but Lowry, I feel like, normally would be expected to beat Pahrump, and I'm not going to break with that this year. I got to go with the Buckaroos. Great mascot, and speaking of great mascots, probably my favorite logo of any team that's going to play in Las Vegas this year, San Diego Cavers coming to play the Grizzlies. What an epic battle, Cavers and Grizzlies.
Yeah, the Cavers went 12-1 last year. Its tailback is back. You think that'd be enough, whatever theories you want to use, Cali versus Vegas, but I got the Cavers.
Yeah, I'd love to disagree with you here because I know we're both fans of what Spring Valley do, and you know they have a habit of playing some close games that we don't expect every year, but I just, it's tough for me to think they're going to beat a California team, especially the Cavers. So I got to agree with you here and go with the Cavers. Legacy actually going to California and playing the Burroughs.
Yeah, and here's another theory of mine. Always take the California team when they're at home.
Oh, when they're at home, you just added for this year.
Yeah. Well,
if it was Burroughs at Legacy, I guess the Heat you would have gone. So, all right, your theories are just expanding.
Yeah, here's the deal. Legacy has zero experience of traveling to California for a game. This is uncharted waters. It's the way high school football is going. You've got to play in these games. Keeps kids engaged. It's a great team bonding thing. Win or lose, you want to get better for your high school season. It's what Faith has done. It's what Gorman's doing. And shout out to Legacy for holding up the Vegas flag in Cali.
I got Legacy winning this game, and I think they're going to do it with a balanced offense. I think Isola's going to have a good script. He's going to be up there in the box. He's going to see some things. Yeah. I got the Longhorns here. I'm high on Legacy this year, and so are you, but I guess you can't go with them week one. I think Legacy's got this.
Case, I stick to my theories.
All right. Legacy for me, Burroughs for Brewer. God, I think now I wish I would have picked us a little bit closer after we talked through and I realized that Fotu and Renshaw are both there. Durango hosting Basic.
Yeah, the pack gets rolling today. Thorian McAllister goes for 3, and Basic wins big.
In the actual picks, I picked Basic by 20. After looking through the teams, I think this is going to be closer. I've got Basic. I think Basic's going to have a good year. I didn't mean to be too harsh on them. I just trying to bring Brewer down to earth a little bit. I've got Basic as well, but Durango could. It's not out of the realm of possibilities for Durango to make this really hard on Basic in the home opener.
Yeah, for me, Case, this is Basic's opportunity. They got the high ranking by the Sun. Make a statement.
All right, there you go. Ray Brewer call out to Basic. Make a statement. We hope we did that today on our first Prep Sports Now. Last word from Ray Brewer.
Coaches, make sure you call your scores in on Friday. You all know my number. Look forward to covering you guys. And make sure everybody checks here. Sun.com will have the scores as soon as they go final on game night. Good luck. Be safe.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday.